Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered, behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about the healing power of art. Today, you'll be meeting Karen Deloach, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who is helping accomplished women find their joy and legacy in creativity. Welcome to the show, Karen. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's such a privilege. Thank you, Susie, for having me. I love being here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. I love talking about creativity. I know we're going to be having an awesome conversation today about your midlife story, your midlife entrepreneurial story. We're going to be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent and might be challenging for you in one way or another in your life, and maybe also as being a business owner. So let's get started. Karen, tell us how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and of course, what is it that you do in the world? Take it away.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I have actual age pride. I'm 69 years old. I'll be 70 on my birthday.
Woohoo!
So I'm very happy to be an entrepreneur at this stage in life. I went back to school at 53 for, I'm an artist, art mentor, been an art teacher. I teach art in college. But the age of 53, I went back to school for filmmaking. I'm a storyteller, visual storyteller, and I love acting. My minor was theater, my major was art. So I've been involved in creativity all my life, and I just fell in love with the digital world of filmmaking. I had no idea what I was in for. And I now get to work with a youth group in Uganda, where I am online teaching them filmmaking. I met them last year and taught art to them, and they became my students. They're telling their stories, and they're rescuees. They have incredible stories. So it's just a joy to use the arts in so many different ways, even in midlife, because I'm not an old lady. I'm in midlife.
Exactly. So you've been an entrepreneur for a while.
Well, I've always been self-employed. Artists, we are self-employed. We didn't necessarily say, gee, I'm an entrepreneur, because they don't teach you anything about marketing and sales in art school or in filmmaking school, nothing. And my husband's like, is there any time this actually starts making a living? So after homeschooling four children and being a homeschool art teacher for 30 plus years, I had an empty nest and went, you know what? I'm going to learn something about this marketing world and online. Of course, you know, COVID threw most of us into the digital world of Zoom and online teaching. So that's what I did. And you know, you talk about what challenges, what's been most difficult. Well, it's got to be the technology, which changes, you know, even as we speak, right? I mean, I had no friends on Facebook except my daughter set me up, and you know, now then I filled it up, you know. So you're using techniques that the experts tell you, you know, paying money to get mentored in marketing, mentored in sales, and you know, what fits for each person's business and what they're trying to do in their life. So it has changed my focus, and learning how healing art is, and I have such great stories. So for years of teaching how to draw, how to paint, how to sculpt, how to batik, now I teach people how to stir up and awaken their right brain creativity. So those of us in our mid years, where maybe we've raised our families, we've accomplished some career goals, what now? How do we find purpose and direction and leave a legacy? Because we're not done. We, you know, we have all these streams of incredible wealth of knowledge and experience and wisdom behind us. And now the best years are ahead of us. And I believe that with all of my heart.
Well, you are on the perfect podcast, my friend, because that is what we talk about here all the time. We have to start thinking about what we can do, not what we can't do, right? It's such an important shift. I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about these stories that you have about the healing power of art. Tell me a little bit about what that part is like for your business. And it seems like that's what you've shifted more into in the last few years. Yeah. Tell us.
Yeah, you know, just the power of art to heal. I didn't think in those terms as I'm just teaching people art and being an artist, because not everybody thinks of themselves as an artist. Most people don't. And here's one story. Five-year-olds, they ask them, are you interested in drawing and coloring and dancing and drumming and doing plays on the playground? There's not one of them that doesn't say yes. But you ask a room of 15-year-olds, maybe 10%. And you got one guy with headphones listening to Led Zeppelin, you know, from my generation music. But they don't, what happened? What happened in those 10 years that they now have no interest in one half of their brain devoted to creativity? What happened? And it's a system of education that values and rewards left brain thinking primarily. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just out of balance. So what happens when you get to be our age, when you get to a point of life where I've utilized my left brain, I've had a job in my left brain, or, you know, but what now? Where is our true self and purpose and legacy going to be found? Hello, this unmined, brilliant, right brain, creative center is there waiting to be awakened, stirred up, and engaged. And that's my passion.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm just reminded of, you know, I have another podcast, the Women in the Middle, a Loving Life After 50 podcast. And on that one's been around for a while. There are over 300 episodes right now, and about 50% are interviews. And I should count up how many women I've interviewed who have discovered, finally allowed themselves to explore and express themselves through art and make a living. It's unbelievable how they've denied themselves because of the pressure or what some well-meaning loved one told them once about what they should be doing and how to increase the likelihood that they will make money. It's so sad. I mean, I understand it, but it's so sad because there's so much happiness that comes from the arts.
Yeah, and I'm here to say it's never too late. You're never too old. You can do it. I just taught a class an hour ago, and there wasn't one person under 60 in the group trying these exercises I was taking them through, no matter where they're coming from or where they want to go with it. And that's the exciting thing. You don't have to say, I want to be an artist to benefit from creative activities. So I'd like to, you know, you asked for some stories. I'm going to give a couple of stories now. I had a young man that was in my studio for years. Now, he had dyslexia and ADD, and quite frankly, wasn't thriving in his academic courses. But in my studio, he thrived. He drew, he painted, he sculpted, he won, as a matter of fact, in his age, first place in the largest youth competition in the Lowcountry. And he got best in show, not just first, best in show.
Wow.
3 months later, this young man had a traumatic brain injury, had a stroke that paralyzed him on the right side, had a plastic skull. He couldn't use his right hand. He couldn't even talk, barely walk. After 4 months in the hospital, they didn't even think he would live. His mama brought him back to my studio. So I'm going to teach him how to draw left-handed, right? We didn't know what to expect, what would happen for him, trying to find hope. He can't even express himself yet. He started drawing left-handed as good as he ever did right-handed.
Wow.
To the point where his neurosurgeon called me and said, what are you doing with David? He said, he's stronger with his weak hand than I am, and I'm a surgeon. He said, not only that, it's causing these neural pathways to connect and bring healing to the right side of his body. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that.
Wow.
He could type, he could write, he could start talking again. He could start walking again. And he was in physical therapy as well, but art had its place in restoring those connections between what he had already developed in his right brain. And I tell you, that touched me so much. This young man is still in my life, and his family is very close to me because I just talked to him last week, and he had complete sentences. He couldn't even get out, barely David, you know, not very many years ago. You would look at him and you wouldn't even know if you didn't see. Is he still working on getting some strength in his right hand? But he's walking. I mean, I'm so thrilled that art had a place for him. And then I had a middle-aged mom who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Now, she was given 6 months to live. It was so advanced. So I brought her into the studio. I knew she was talented. I had a big show, big sculpture show I was preparing for, and I put her to work every day in my studio. And she was going through radiation, chemotherapy. She had radical mastectomy. She had reconstruction during this whole year. Not even sure she would be at the show. And let me tell you, 10 years later, she's still cancer-free. There was something that happened. And I talked to her recently. She said, having something to look forward to, doing some hands-on projects, which now I'm learning, releases serotonin, which is the happiness chemical. So instead of just thinking about these awful procedures she's going through, and I'm not saying there weren't days she couldn't make it because she was feeling so bad, but she was looking forward to it. She was there in glory with this show opening that was a huge success, and she was a huge, huge part of it. And it was a huge part of saving her life. And I don't doubt it for a minute, because that's the power of the creative arts.
So good. Okay, so now... thank you so much for sharing that. And now, you know what I love to talk about around here, because I really think that women are freaking awesome running around in midlife dealing with all the crap that we have to deal with. Tell us a little bit about the challenges for you being at this age and stage and loving your business. But these things, sometimes they're hiccups, sometimes they're more than hiccups, can get in the way. What comes up for you?
Well, number one, I'm a visual artist. And now you're going to put me on screen, flat screen already, and I'm going to teach three-dimensional art or whatever, on a two-dimensional. How do you do that? That was number one challenge. I'm going to teach art via Zoom. I mean, I've come to love it because of the flexibility, and you can reach people anywhere. I love certain things about it. And I, you know, I have digital books, so I can flash, you know, share my screen and share, you know, what we're, I could show them the sample, show them examples, and then we can do it together. So I've learned to adjust to it, but it was very challenging at first. And I'm sure everybody talks about technology. You know, there was no computers when I was born, you know, when I was a child. We didn't grow up, you know, with computers. It's a whole new world. And, you know, it's the 21st century. And if you don't embrace this technical world, you're really, truly going to get left behind. And that's true in all creative worlds. But the benefits make it worth it. And like I said, I studied art, fine arts. You know, drama and art has been my world. Sales and marketing, what? Those are, I was so shut down about that. Like, you know, it's taken a lot to change my own mindsets that I'm responsible for filling my classes now. I'm responsible for finding clients. I'm responsible for getting my message out there. I'm responsible. And, you know, you and I had a little chat, all the things, you know, you say, okay, well, I'm going to try this, and you try it, and it opens up, and there's about 10 more doors on that same hallway, all of new technology or other systems or things you have to put in place. And it feels overwhelming. And that I think a lot of us have experienced at our age is just
definitely
up learning this. This is all new territory.
I find that one thing is, it's also not just we didn't grow up learning it, but I have a fear about exploring and experimenting with it, because my mind goes back to that 1980 situation with my floppy disk in a computer lab where I did something wrong and I lost everything. Like, and honestly, it was one of the things I needed to work on really hard too. And I have a thought now that I use whenever something goes wrong. And it's this, and I offer it to anybody who needs a go-to thought. I'm learning to embrace the technology I need for my business. Because right away, if something went wrong, I would think I suck at technology. And thinking I sucked at technology doesn't help me at all, because I start to feel hopeless and stupid. I need to feel empowered and bright, like I can figure something out, resourceful. And so I did have a success a couple of years ago where something happened. I went to record a podcast and I couldn't, something was wrong. You know how buttons and controls change without your permission? Like, I didn't change anything and now something's changed, and I had to figure it out by myself. And I went to the Google. I just thought, I'm going to type in the way I'm thinking about it, because I didn't know what words to use, like what professional words to use to describe the problem. So I just put in there the way I was thinking. The answer came up immediately and I fixed the problem. And boy, did I do a happy dance. I couldn't believe it. But I totally know what you mean. I've watched my kids explore new software, new apps. They're thinking about it so differently than I was. So there's so many levels to technology. Like, we can appreciate that it can be fun, but thinking about marketing and tech as fun overall in our business, where we don't have an IT team at the ready all the time, right? It's not the same. So I totally hear you.
Yeah. And, you know, asking for help. I remember when I first started homeschooling and I was still working in my studio while I was expecting my sons to do their work that I had so spent up most of the night organizing and putting together and making sure they had all the curriculum, everything they needed placed. I had a newborn baby and he's in the studio with me and I'm working. And then I find out they're not doing the work. And I was just crying out like, oh God, I'm such a failure. I'm ruining my children's life. And it was like clear as a bell, ask for help. Oh, I don't have to be all things even to my children. Okay. Man, did that open up a world of bartering. Okay, you teach science to my kids, I'll teach art to yours. And, you know, we started a co-op that turned into now has 600 kids in it. I mean, I was like, what? Anyway, it got huge and taught filmmaking, taught art. And, you know, that kind of opened up a lot of things and just get help. You know your limitations, find where you can get help. And I think that is a huge thing, is recognizing that we can't be all things to everybody in every arena.
How have you found help with tech?
Well, I mean, I pay for it.
Obviously, yeah.
You know, okay, this course promises to teach me how to do this, and I take the course. And
okay.
A good student. You know, I'm a teacher, and I love to learn, and so I don't mind learning. And I admit that there have been some that I've taken that was all about learning and not about implementing.
Yes, exactly.
So there have been some wasted thousands in my journey of,
oh my gosh, Karen, I totally hear you. I guess that was really what I wanted to know, and you totally answered it. Like, sometimes we know we need help and we know exactly what we're looking for. Other times we're not exactly sure, but when we get help, it's not the right help. Sometimes I just want my hand held. I just don't want to do it. Sometimes I don't want to do it. I want to pay somebody to do it completely. Sometimes I just want my hand held. I don't want to read something by myself. I want to be shown step by step. So yeah, we need help in all kinds of different ways.
And I admit some of the things have been too hard for me.
Yeah.
I found out, okay, you know what? I don't like LinkedIn, and I don't care if my clients are only on LinkedIn. I just don't like it. It's too corporate world for me.
Right.
You know, it's great for people, and I tried it, you know, got a couple grand into it and said, not for me. Okay. Slam that door shut, you know. And, you know, as an artist, we're kind of like spider thinkers, and we think, you know, pull from all these different columns, and finding, you know, like Angel and Jamie, who's saying, you know, focus. Wow. Did I need that? Focus.
Yeah. We're both in the same course right now. That's how we met. And yeah, I needed to hear a focus message as well. Really, really important. And you're not alone. I've also wasted some money, and I've also gotten some amazing value. So it's a crapshoot. It's kind of like marketing, right? 50% works. The problem is we don't know which 50%.
Yeah. And you always meet great people, and that makes whatever it is worth it. You know, we're on the same journey. I didn't even think of myself as an entrepreneur. I've been self-employed, you know, and paid
tax for self-employment.
But I'm an entrepreneur. What makes person an entrepreneur? And so, you know, I think entering this marketing and sales world is really truly what sets me apart. I'm a businesswoman now. I'm not just an art teacher. And I didn't even teach in college when I was homeschooling. I just didn't have the time. And then I get there, and I live in a rural state, and we have students. I teach at a community college. I'm the whole art department. I'm art history and appreciation teacher. And These are young people that will never probably have another art class in their life. I'd say 90% don't have much experience, and they won't. Most of them have never been to a museum or a gallery. And so I switched around the whole curriculum. The school's given me complete freedom. I wrote a whole textbook just a 630-page textbook that's 1,800 images for them. That is in language that they can understand. It's written from an artist's point of view, not an art historian's point of view. It's much more hands-on. They have to try it, to learn it, discover artists that they whose artwork they like, find what they love. And you know, you talk about holding someone's hands, and I've decided that, you know, with being kind of a creativity specialist, is that that's what I want to offer people. That maybe at our stage in life, they can watch videos, they can watch and get a lot of information, but what they need is somebody to take them by the hand. What am I going to do today? And how am I going to, you know, how can I improve with a safe, no criticism zone, no judgment zone, because that right brain, left brain bully can just keep our brain so diminished and crushed and wounded. It's sensitive and it's our intuitive, our part of us that has invention and imagination. And most of us haven't really explored it the way it really wants to be explored, because there's this Yankee bully voice telling us what we can't do, as we've already talked about a bit. And so you have somebody that even for 15 minutes a day, which is what the neuroscientists are saying, all it takes is 15 minutes a day of creativity to keep your right brain engaged, get over brain fog, get over all kinds of fears and mindset issues, just engaging that right brain. And I can offer myself 3 to 5 times a week, 15, 18 minute increments, and hold somebody's hand. And that's kind of the program that I've developed, because I feel like that's what women our age really, really want. I don't want to just learn stuff. I want to implement. I want somebody to help me do it. Help me fulfill this feeling inside that I've known I could do more, you know, however it looks.
Oh, I love that. So you mentioned a book. What is this book that you made?
Yes. Art History and Appreciation. And I also have one called How to Draw that's on Amazon. And this one's through Kendall Hunt. And it's, you know, teaches about Western art and has a lot of contemporary local artists. And this is the cover is an artist here from the Lowcountry of South Carolina who was
Art History and Appreciation, Creative Exploration and Application. Amazing.
Yeah. And then they have to have the How to Draw book where they're going to do some hands-on exercises. But like, we have this Gullah artist, Jonathan Green, from the Lowcountry of South Carolina. He's descendants of slaves that were given land in the islands, and they kept a lot of their Western African culture with basket weaving and farming and rice and cotton. And he grew up there. He was the first person to leave the island and go to art school. And he's brilliant. He celebrates his culture with beauty and life and texture. And my students eat him up with two spoons. They just can't get over that somebody that they could relate to has a similar or close background and has succeeded so beautifully. And I can introduce him to the next generation.
I love your story. You know, also we met in the podcast space, learning more about podcasting, and it's so interesting because podcasting is something that I never thought I'd be doing. I was a late adopter to a smartphone. I mean, a lot of women our age don't even know that a podcast app is right there on their phone waiting for them. So I totally hear what you're saying about all of this and the way Zoom and technology has affected so many of our lives. And even though we could be a little grouchy about it sometimes, we all recognize the potential. it's so good. So tell me, what else do you want next? Like, what do you want next in your business? What else do you see yourself doing?
Well, I love being a guest on podcasts. This is just a sheer joy. And I can see in the future doing podcasts, or actually probably more like video, because I am a visual artist.
Right.
You know, but, you know, talking about age, my mother, who's sitting here with me, is 91 years old, and she has an iPhone and an iPad and an iWatch, and she knows how to use them. So, you know, our age cannot be an excuse. And I think that's important for women to hear that. You know, yeah, there's certain things, you know, the knees that I'm not getting down on my hands and knees to do that mural work anymore. You know, I'm just not going to do it. And, you know, as my life had to change because I have certain physical differences at 70 than I had at 30 or 40 or even 50. So those are realities that means, okay, that doesn't mean everything has stopped, you know, and we adjust, we adapt, and we figure out where we go from here. And I don't think we can ignore things like ChatGPT. And, you know, that's one of the things I've talked, you know, been thinking about is the, you know, AI world. And some people are terrified. Their jobs are at stake. You know, if they're only operating left brain, well, you know, computer can do the left brain accounting. It can't do any right brain, creative, intuitive, imaginative work. So how are we going to fight them? By being your human best, which is engaging in the right brain too.
So good. So how can people best get in touch with you, Karen?
Well, I have a free book I'd love for people to download. It's called Art as Self-Therapy, Five Steps to a Healthier Soul. And it's you can get it at www.karendeloach.com/gift. I'd love
perfect.
To
so just your regular website /gift.
Karendeloach.com.
Amazing. Karen, thank you so much for taking time from your, I'm sure, incredibly interesting day and sharing all of this. I really appreciate your passion and how you can just, you know, you got more to do and you're doing it. And it's really evident how much you care about helping people find more happiness through art. So thank you so much for everything you're doing.
My privilege and pleasure. Thank you.
All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.